Anybody know when Paul Harvey's coming back from vacation? I miss him.
I think he's gone for a long time.
Well, he deserves the rest. He's the greatest. Welcome aboard our three-hour cruise.
A three-hour cruise on the SS Minnow.
Well, you're Marianne, so...
And you're the professor. No, actually, I think you are... You've been wanting to be a third. You are Thurston Howell the Third.
I want to be the skipper.
You want to be the skipper?
I want to be the skipper. It's Sarat and Murciano, and it's good to be with you today. This is good running weather, good biking weather. I know it's a little chilly for you, Marianne, with your Miami blood, but this is perfect. And that reminds me of something. This is the end of the season for the various charity bike-a-thons and walk-a-thons and marathons. And here's the problem I have with all of those things. It's kind of a waste of energy in this way. You get pledges usually. So for every mile you go, you get money for a good cause. I get that. But you're wasting your energy on the way to the good cause. Wouldn't it be much more effective? Wouldn't it be much more beneficial to the community if instead of running or walking or biking to raise money, you would do something like a garbage-a-thon? In other words, you go like a certain number of miles, and along the way you pick up trash. So you're actually doing something besides just exerting your energy. And let me put this out there. If any community, anybody wants to have a trash-a-thon, I would love to be the honorary chairman.
It's called community service. When you do the trash-a-thons, as you call it.
I don't want to have to do something wrong, though, and be sentenced to community service. I'm just volunteering for something like that. I'd like to head up a public service campaign where people are actually out there using up energy and something is accomplished along the way,
know,
other than just running, walking, or biking.
But
how about cleaning things up?
You're talking about then two big sacrifices that you're making. You're going out there and getting pledges, which is a lot of work, mm-hmm. and then you're also doing, you know, hard labor. So what is the incentive for people to want to do that? I mean, for a lot of people, running is the incentive. And then they figure, well, let me run in this race, and then while I'm at it, I'll collect money. But you're saying, like, sacrifice twice.
Well, I'm saying collect the money, and then when you're out there burning up calories, be doing something for the community.
Okay, so one
like
of your
picking
friends...
picking up garbage.
So if one of your friends says, hey, Bob, let's get together next month. I want to go pick up trash with you. Would you do it?
It has to be an organized event of some kind.
Well, yeah.
I just don't want to walk around with a pole and a thing on the end of it to pick up garbage. Although, I must say, and this is a well-known fact about me. People close to me know this. I enjoy everything about garbage. I enjoy talking to our garbage men.
You do. That is so true.
Sanitation engineers, as
right.
in except the business that, we prefer to be called.
Except that sometimes you have a perception problem when it comes to garbage. I mean, like, you will do exactly what you're told to do. So if, for example, someone like me, I say, take out the garbage, well, then... You immediately take charge and you go take out the garbage. But if the garbage is spilling over and the canister, our automatic canister, does not shut.
Don't bring that up too, because then that'll take another half hour to explain our garbage can.
Does not shut. Then, you know, you still have to wait until someone says, take out the garbage. So, yeah, you're very good at carrying out the order.
No, I put my foot on it. That's my human trash compactor. I just stomp on it and get more in the bag. But as I was saying, I enjoy speaking with the G-men, the garbage men. Mm-hmm. A lot of people run and hide from the garbage men. Not me. I enjoy mixing it up with them, finding out what's going on with them. And to me, what I like about the removal of garbage is immediate satisfaction. You don't have to wait and find out if your efforts have been rewarded. It's there immediately. Things are messy, junky, dirty 1 minute, and the next minute they're clean. That's why I enjoy all things garbage.
You know what, speaking of garbage people, or sanitation people.
Wait a minute. That, huh. Anybody married huh. knows what that means. Huh. That means you're an idiot. Don't think I don't know that. Huh.
You're so perceptive. But you know what? I get anxiety when I see them because I never
know. The garbage
men? Yes, because from
one
year to the... No, I'm not afraid of them. What are you kidding? I have anxiety because I never know if we should give them a Christmas tip, a holiday present. And, you know, like some years we do it, other years we're really disorganized and we're not even around. And I always think, oh, God, did I give them the money in an envelope? Did they get it? You have to wait out there for them. So I'm always thinking that they're saying, oh, she didn't give us anything.
No, they don't expect anything. But I like to give them sometimes some of the swag, our overflowing swag that we get. Like, you know, you give them a case of something to drink or some food. You know what I mean?
You give them food?
I don't know. Hey, Rick, you're on the program. Hi.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Marianne. How's it going today?
Hey there. How you doing?
Good. Hey, Bob, that's funny you should say that. My son, he just turned 17, and ever since he was a little guy, he loves garbage trucks. Same thing. On summer vacation, he'll wait out at the curb, and he'll talk to the garbage man, and just anything related to garbage.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And also, let me tell you, you can get some great stories from those guys. They know what's happening in the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's incredible. And then he'll go in the kitchen. We have a recycle bin and a garbage bin, and he'll go through there, separate, recycle. We try to, but the other two won't, you know, do it. And he'll go and make sure everything's in its right spot.
Well, also, the technology is fascinating these days because, you know, in many suburbs, they have those deals now where, unfortunately, they don't have two garbage men anymore. They have one, and then the truck just, you know, automatically, it picks up the can and dumps it in the truck and puts it back down. The guy doesn't even have to do it himself. So there's a lot of science involved here. All right, Rick. Well,
you should say that.
You know, we'll get your information because I may have your son involved in my upcoming garbage-a-thon. Appreciate the call.
Oh, my God, that'd be awesome.
You know what?
Thanks.
And by the way, Bob, it's called Adopt a Highway.
Oh, well, that's true.
And
they do. They do that.
People go out in groups.
Well, all right. I'm all for Adopt a Highway. Keeps the expressway clean. Keeps the medians clean and the areas along the side of the road clean. And you see those little signs where a company will sponsor a stretch.
Right.
Gateway Green is a great organization. Mm-hmm. They're behind that. That's what I'm all about.
But you want to do it in the streets where people actually would be running, like on a running path.
Or the sidewalks.
Okay.
You know, block by block, neighborhood by neighborhood. I think I can get Mayor Emanuel behind me. This is Kevin. Are you with me here, Kevin?
I sure am.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm doing real well.
How's the family? Everybody good? How the garbage men in the neighborhood? What's up, Kevin?
They do a great job. I have to preface this with my wife is double mastectomy breast cancer survivor.
How's she doing? She doing good now?
She's still 17 years.
Great.
Awesome.
And... yeah, no kidding. I hate it when charities in themselves become big business. I was very glad to see WIME go away. I think rather than shut down streets and have these walks and everything, write a check. Just write a check.
You know, I think about that all the time. I'm glad you brought that up, Kevin. When I hear about somebody making a donation for every home run somebody hits or whatever it is, it's all well and good and well-meaning. But don't you think sometimes just donate the money?
I know. But Bob and Kevin, if for every home run that is hit, then people attend the game and then those people contribute too, is what you hope. I mean, you got to put some fun into it. If not, if you just tell people, hey, please write a check. What's going to
be
the
right
incentive?
About that.
You need to have
I guess
some
so.
Fun.
But Kevin, your point's well taken about the business, and the real bottom line on that is, you know, how much of your dollar is going to the charity?
Precisely.
That's what you need to know. And anytime you give money, any good organization will be happy to tell you that. And if they don't, then something's fishy, right?
That's true. That's okay. Right.
Bob's Garbage-a-thon, 100% of the money will go to cleanup causes. Sarat and Murciano and the multicast coming up. What's the deal on Michael Jordan's house? Literally, what's the deal? And also R. Kelly's house and Chicago housing, the market in general. We'll get the review from Chicago Magazine's Dennis Rodkin. And our old pal Lyle Dean has some health news you can use coming up after the 1 o'clock news. And in the 2 o'clock hour, we'll open up the Love Lab as usual. 8 types of women men should avoid.
Wow, 8 types?
That's all? There's just 8 types? Man, we'll go over that list.
Which model?
And by the way, we heard from a lot of people about club sports yesterday. And if you
They're still talking about it.
If you were with us during the lunch hour and were unable to listen in, it was an interesting community meeting we had here on the radio. And I think if you go to WGNradio.com and click into Sarat and Murciano and our show, you can find that podcast and hear all about it. Some other old business from yesterday. We did a little sampling of salsa. And I had the muchacha salsa that's listed as medium. And that was quite a spicy meatball. Let me tell you, that was good, wasn't it?
I didn't even think it was that spicy. That was
It was great.
So delicious.
So who do we have to thank for that?
So here's the thing. We are going to post on our Facebook page the locations where people can get that. Because, and I'm looking for it right now. As you can tell, I'm scrolling through our Facebook page looking for, we're going to post the link. So it's called Muchacha Salsa, and
local product, and they're donating part of the proceeds to a good cause, aren't they? I think it's the Lynn Sage organization.
Yes, mm-hmm. During the month of October for breast cancer awareness.
Anyway, thanks to the folks for bringing us those samples down to the Tribune Tower here at the beautiful Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And we enjoyed the chips and salsa. Now, I didn't go for the real hot or the mild. The medium was just right for me. I know Marianne claims there's never been a sauce made that's too hot for her.
No, there really isn't. But I think it's because I used to like hot sauce. I was never exposed to it as, you know, as a young kid, because Cuban food is not hot. It's just garlicky. So when I started, when I was an adult and I started having hot food, I couldn't get enough of it. And I think I ate too much of it and it burned out some taste buds or something. Because we go to Heaven on 7 and they have a wall of hot sauces there. And then if you ask for it, Jimmy and George Banos have a secret stash that they only reserve for people who, like, they don't mind if their tongues burn off.
Yeah, they keep it in some sort of asbestos container. Yeah. And they come out, they have to wear hazmat suits when they bring it out to you. And then you had that, and you didn't think it was that hot, right?
I mean, I thought it was hot, but it wasn't like, you know, I couldn't stand it. But you know what? One time I really did have really hot food. I used to eat Indian food for, you know, and I would always say, please make it as hot as possible. And one day I was in London where they have really, really good, authentic Indian food. And I said the same thing, you know, make it as hot as you can. And I don't think I was able to finish my meal because it was so hot. I could only have a little tiny bit of it with a lot of rice.
And we should point out that the antidote is not water, right? It's bread or crackers.
I remember them telling me yogurt. Like, there's this dish called raita that is made with yogurt and cucumbers and I think dill. It's delicious, but I think that's really the antidote.
Or if you can't get that,
you can make it.
It's something that with wheat in it.
No.
Or
with milk.
Is that it? Okay. You just don't like wheat.
You're just trying to trick me into eating wheat. I won't.
All right. Let's get to what's new in the Chicago area housing market and also talk about Michael Jordan's house and R. Kelly's house. We'll do that after the news update.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house.
but what's it worth? With two cats in the yard. Let's talk a little real estate. And joining us from Chicago Magazine, the deal estate columnist online and in the magazine, Dennis Rodkin. Dennis, welcome. Good to see you.
Hi.
And we got the news yesterday about existing home sales in the Chicago area remaining far ahead of their year-ago pace in September, but the hot pace seen earlier in the year showed more signs of slowing. What does it all mean?
Well, I think part of what it means is that we were on a run and there was a huge amount of activity. Now, even though we're not going slowly, it appears to be slow compared to all that hectic pace. We're up considerably from a year before. We're always slowing down in the fall. But I had some data last week showing that we haven't fallen as far this fall as we have in past falls.
I thought that it always slowed down in the fall and coming into the holidays.
It does. It definitely does.
I mean, does that take that? Do those numbers reflect that?
They do. And that's what I liked about the data that I got from MRED, the multiple listing service, is that it showed that even though we fell, we have not fallen as far. So, you know, we're like building layers underneath us to build up. You know, we're not continuing to plunge all the way back down. Stronger result of the fall turndown than we've had in past years. It's a good sign.
And as the real estate season starts to wind down a little bit, at least in terms of residentials during the holidays, is this a good time for people who are either A, desperate, or B, trying to be different from everybody else that's out there? Would this be a good time to put your house on the market?
You know, Marianne, I think it is, not for everybody, but for some people, because inventory is still tight. There are still buyers out there. There are buyers who got turned away during that crazy period. They got turned off by the multiple bids, by the battles over houses, and they may turn around and come back. Interest rates did not run up. They've fallen now for several weeks. So some people who decided, oops, maybe I'd better not, now we'll be coming back. So I think there are a couple of reasons it would be a good idea to list.
What about condo sales? What's going on with that market?
You know what I don't understand? Condo sales have done, let me put it this way. Compared to home sales, condo sales are doing better in the suburbs than in the city, which that was in data that came out on Monday. And I don't know why. I actually asked on Twitter, what do you think? Why would condos be racing ahead in the suburbs better than they are in the city? And several people said, well, you know, maybe it's downsizers. Maybe it's people not willing to commit to those big suburban houses, that sort of thing. But what I can't figure out is that's not enough. That doesn't make up for the big difference between the faster pace of condos in the suburbs versus houses compared to the fast pace of condos in the city versus houses.
Could it be related to where the jobs are?
It could. That's something nobody mentioned, Marianne. That could very well be true, because people do follow where job growth is. And as you know, we've had very anemic job growth, but that could certainly be one of the factors.
Let's talk about some of the celebrity houses in the news. Michael Jordan, they're auctioning this off in Highland Park. How does that work?
Well, I think Michael Jordan hope it works really well. My question is, I don't know that it's going to work well for him, but the basic mechanics of an auction is, rather than putting a house out there and saying, I want a dollar for it, you put a house out there and say, what will you pay me for it? That's the basic difference. And bidders come in, and in that case, what they have to do is put down a $250,000 refundable deposit, be vetted by the bank that is working with the auction house, and then they get the secret information where the auction will actually be held. It's at a confidential location, November 22nd. And the idea is, you've got an unusual commodity. You don't really know what its worth is, so you put it up for auction, and then the market tells you this is what your house is worth.
So he, in order to protect himself, he probably has to have a minimum, like they do on eBay auctions, right?
He has declared no minimum. It kills me, Marianne.
There's no minimum? Somebody could actually really get it for like $260,000,
well,
on that day?
Possibly. But here's the thing.
That's crazy.
So I've got an email from the auction house saying there's no minimum, there's no reserve, there's that $250,000 deposit, but that's refundable. People can make opening bids in advance of the auction itself once they've been vetted. But here's the thing. So that appears to mean that Jordan would take whatever you offer. And I know you guys are planning to bid.
Yeah, sure. Right.
But there was another auction in Winnetka, same company. There was no minimum, and yet the house didn't sell at auction. Nobody ever said why, but they apparently walked away from the bids they had. Could Jordan do that? You know, there's no reading his mind, but you would imagine that he's got a feeling that this house is worth some amount.
Okay, so what was it on the market for, and what did it get reduced to?
It was on for $29 million in early 2012. It got reduced to $21 million. The general talk in the real estate industry is that it is at least $10 million overpriced. Would he take an offer of $9
million? $10 million overpriced?
That's what most people who have been through the property, not many agents have been through the property, but most people feel, I mean, you know, it's got a lot of great things going for it. It has a full-size basketball gym. It has the fact that Michael Jordan, his wife and kids lived there for many years. It's a nice piece of property next to a big forest preserve or a nature center in Highland Park. Some of the dings against it, it's like super 90s architecture, lots of glass brick and things like that. And it's far from Lake Michigan. $21 million would buy you a lot of land on Lake Michigan.
Now, you said you came across a spot about a half mile from the Jordan Mansion that's also for sale for a little less.
For less, yeah. I was actually there. I haven't been inside the Jordan Mansion, though I saw it 20 years ago when it was under construction, is all I should say. But, yeah, there's a ranch. There's a gentleman's farm, a 1920s gentleman's farm, only about a half a mile away, still in Highland Park. They're asking $18 million. They have 25 acres. They have several buildings. It doesn't have the sort of flaw of being a very particular times architecture, like Jordan's house is so 90s. It has a real sort of classic feeling, and it's a heck of a lot more land.
Wouldn't a team want to buy that house?
We'll bid on that one, yeah. Marianne. Yeah, that's the one we'll bid on.
No.
And if you will, you know, you'll have a hen house. You guys can get fresh eggs right out of the hen house every morning.
Oh, that'd be great. No, but seriously, like a group of people should buy that house. I mean, the zoning probably doesn't allow for it, but with the facilities... I mean, our daughter plays basketball. They're always looking for locations to play.
Oh, totally. You know, there's a great tradition of mansions becoming orphanages, public or private schools, those kinds of things. A massive mansion from the 19th century. Could this happen? I mean, it certainly got the facilities for that. I don't know how many people it can sleep, but certainly dozens. And then, as you say, you know, basketball court and everything else. Zoning these days wouldn't allow, and you're still stuck with the fact that it's this sort of grandiose 1990s architecture.
I'm still thinking about you saying that you saw the Jordan house under construction, and that's all I want to say about it. What exactly did you see, Dennis? Come on.
I saw the Jordan house. Come on, Bob. You're a reporter. I wrote about it at the time that it was under construction. The one thing I have written is that if you went around back in that nature center in Highland Park, you could see a lot that was going on then before they planted the big row of trees that obscured it from view.
Got
can
it.
Can I stop there?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
But I want you to. Yeah,
there, we had one 20 years ago when it was going up.
I want you to talk about the R. Kelly house and more real estate with Dennis Rodkin from Chicago Magazine after this. R. Kelly, house for sale in Olympia Fields. And Dennis Rodkin from Chicago Magazine is here to talk a little real estate with us now. Is this another auction, Dennis?
This was a sheriff's auction. This was sold at foreclosure. Kelly's been out of it, or Kelly was supposedly evicted from it. It just sold last week, and it's an amazing story because he built it in 1999. He'd had it for all those years and lost it in foreclosure. And what's fascinating to me is it was sold last week for 16% of what his mortgage amount was. He had mortgaged it for over $3 million, and it was sold for $587,000.
And the worth of it, though, it had been appraised for $5.2
million. Yeah, people have reported that it was appraised at $5.2
million. And then to sell it for $587,000?
Well, supposedly, I don't think any maintenance has been done on it for a while. You know, R. Kelly's been kind of busy. I don't think he'd been really taking care of the house in litigation. The house apparently had declined, and it also it was one of those massive things. You know, when you build something just for yourself, it often doesn't really have that replacement value. Might have been, say, $5 million, or an appraised value might have been $5 million, but replacement value was far lower. It's a lot cheaper just to rebuild than to move into this thing and fix it up. And people don't pay a premium for the name R. Kelly and may not pay a premium for the name Michael Jordan.
I just don't understand why you need so much space. Because, I mean...
Because you can have it.
Yeah. But it's a hassle to be walking so far. Yeah. Like, don't you want to be... And also, you don't get... I don't know. One time we stayed in a hotel where, I mean, oftentimes we've stayed in hotels where instead of getting two rooms because there's five of us, we've gotten one larger, like a junior suite. And it's so much fun when everybody is really close together in one room. I mean, I like having, you know, a whole house to yourself. Basically, yeah. For each child.
And that's why we're not bidding on the Jordan house or the R. Kelly house. The R. Kelly...
It's too much.
Well, it's let's see. He bought it in 97. 6 acres, mm-hmm. 5 bedrooms, 7 baths, an indoor pool.
Now,
yeah, it's
is
pretty
this
big.
Is this the house that had the indoor pool in the dining room? Or is this a different
The one with
pool?
The indoor pool where the problems happened was in Lakeview, and that was sold a while ago.
In Lakeview, and that
yeah,
was
this
like,
is this is Olympia Fields.
Yeah.
Right, and so, and that, he, I guess he must have a thing with indoor pools, but that house, I remember when we had our show on Fox, we had a camera there, and you could see people swimming. If you were sitting
yeah.
down in the dining room, you could see people swimming next to you.
That house I was in, yeah, that was a it was an amazing house. It had been... had it been an auto garage? It had been a building with a very large main room. So the living room was like the size of a church.
Does it still look like that? Do you know?
It's been massively rehabbed. I believe the pool is still there. The last time I asked, the pool was still there, though all that had been redone.
Now, when you have something like the Michael Jordan house, and then over the weekend, we saw the stories in the paper, and then TV news picked up on it. So this is the company running the auction, trying mm-hmm. to get some publicity, mm-hmm. right? And
right.
hoping that actually leads to a sale. That's why all of a sudden we're hearing about this and seeing it everywhere, right?
Yeah, well, you know, the company is based in New York, and they've done auctions all over the country. I linked to it in my story. When you look at their site, they have auctioned 10, 15, $20 million homes, but in places like super luxurious parts of Florida and Aspen and Montana and things like that. So, yeah, what they're trying to do is expose this to a national pool of buyers. That's why they would talk to the Wall Street Journal before they'd talk to, say, Chicago Magazine or something like that. But the question I have is... An auction of a multi-million dollar second home works real well because you expose it to, it's in Aspen, and you expose it to people everywhere from, say, Los Angeles to New York. Highland Park, you know, it's a beautiful place, but it is not where people buy massive second homes.
Are a lot of people putting their massive mansions on auction?
I have seen three of these, of the mega mansions in Chicago, there have been three that have gone up for auction. Jordan's is the third. The first two didn't sell at auction. They put them up for auction. The one is the one in Winnetka where I said, same mm-hmm. auction company. It's the massive one called Le Grand Rev. It, too, has a little bit of a flaw. It's a massive, very luxurious house, but it's not in Winnetka. It's not on the lake or anything like that. They sold at auction and then didn't accept whatever came across. And then the other one is that enormous one everybody knows called Villa Taj in Burr Ridge, the one that ended up with the 6 million gallons of flood water in it and stuff. Mm. That had been on the market for a long time. We don't know what the price is. Let's put it up for auction. And it didn't sell. They yanked it off, and it recently sold for a fraction of the – it sold in the 3 millions, and it had been up for 28 million.
So far, it's sounding like auctions are not the way to go.
Auctions don't seem to be the way to go in Chicago for multi-million dollar homes. For a $100,000 condo, sure. For a $500,000 house in the suburbs, sure. It does seem to work. I've seen lots of houses auctioned, but we haven't had any luck with the mega mansion auction in Chicago yet. Jordan says it'll work. I hope it does.
More in Chicago Magazine and at chicagomagazine.com. It's Dennis Rodkin. Deal Estate is the column. Always fun to talk about this. I don't see any for sale signs in our Allstate Showcase studio here, so we'll do this again next week, Dennis. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Sarat and Marciano in the afternoon. We're joined by our pal Lyle Dean, who, as always, brings us health news you can use. By the way, is the boat docked away now?
It is, along with most of the others in the harbor.
Is there anything left out there?
Oh, yeah. There are a few. You can stay in until November 15th in some of the harbors.
Hmm.
And as you know, on a morning like this, it's a little nippy.
Yeah. A little.
Yeah, and people are sniffling. People are fighting various ailments. And that's why we bring you health news you can use. And what do you have for us today, Lyle?
Well, I'm waiting for the computer to wake up here. But
Well, let's get some technology news you can use first, then. By the way, we're very happy that we were among the first people to report on Apple and what they did yesterday. The Apple, what is it, the iPad Air?
I saw a bunch of apples in the green room.
Well, we had those too. Bill and Wendy had the apples you can eat, and we were dealing with the other apples.
You mean they gave this huge announcement that was watched worldwide and being reported as it was happening, and we were actually the first to report that?
Well, I'm told that we had all of the info on the new iPad on the radio here before it was posted at CNN.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow. So we beat CNN to it. All right.
That's
remember
it.
When you used to try to do that with new releases, new records?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Be the first one out there with it?
Yeah, and the two radio stations, the big rock stations, LS and CFL, would compete, and then one would get the record first, and then the other station would tape it off the air so they could have it, but then stations started putting their call letters into the music. Remember that?
Yes.
Oh, that's terrible. Now it's just a file. Like, everybody gets the file at the same time, probably.
I know. Yeah.
Do both of you drink coffee?
I do.
I'm not old enough.
How much coffee?
I have one cappuccino a day with almond milk.
Well, that's like three cups of coffee, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know.
I don't know.
It's
coffee
strong.
Consumption reduces the risk of liver cancer.
Oh, wow. See, Bob?
I just, the idea of hot bean juice never appealed to me. But more and more you're hearing these reports about, is it the caffeine they say is now good for you?
Not necessarily.
What is good for you about it?
They're not saying, and this they just reviewed a bunch of previous studies, and it does reduce the risk of the most common type of liver cancer by about 40%, according to this meta-analysis in Clinical Gastroenterology and Hepatology. Further, some data indicate that three cups of coffee a day reduce liver cancer risk by more than 50%.
Well, I didn't want to tell you when you first asked me, but my cappuccino that I have is a triple. So I'm glad.
Was the study funded by Starbucks?
No, but strangely enough, with all the focus on coffee and liver cancer, that's substantial. Coffee may be the headline, but keep in mind, primary liver cancers are largely avoidable through hepatitis B virus vaccination, control of hepatitis C virus transmission, and reduction of alcohol drinking. Those three measures, in principle, can avoid more than 90% of primary liver cancer worldwide.
Wow. Well, so, you hear all about alcohol tied to that.
And hepatitis C.
Yeah. I'll start drinking coffee.
Well, let me know how you do, because I'm still not old enough to drink.
You don't drink coffee either? I made a decision many years ago that I don't care what is ever discovered about coffee, I am never going to stop drinking it.
Well, you're hooked, right? It's addictive.
Well, I mean, I went from the bottle to...
Really?
Seriously, I'm not kidding you. I'm Cuban, and I went from a bottle to a café con leche, which is like a cappuccino. In a cup when I was like three.
Well, the Cuban coffee, too, that will knock you out.
No,
it won't. A little tiny cup. Well, it won't knock you out, but it'll knock me out.
I don't know. I don't think so. I've been drinking it since I was three, and I'm fine.
You say.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, I say. Who knows?
Flu vaccine story associated with a lower risk of cardiovascular events. Now, one of the headlines that I saw this morning, I think on one of the TV stations, said flu vaccine associated with lower risk of cardiovascular events if you had a recent cardiovascular event. Well, that's true too, but this is a double fold story in that receiving a flu vaccination is associated with a lower risk of major adverse cardiovascular events such as heart failure, hospitalization for heart attack. The greatest treatment effect seemed to be among patients with recent acute coronary syndrome, such as heart attack, according to this meta-analysis published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Several studies have suggested a strong inverse relationship between the flu vaccination and risk of fatal and non-fatal cardiovascular events. So it is, there is some benefit, even if you don't have heart failure or heart events, to getting the flu vaccine.
And now we go to Marianne at the Holistic Medicine Desk.
Of course, the flu shot haters.
I know, you're out there.
Who are a lot of people are saying, and the Holistic Medicine is saying, that the best thing that you can have to guard against the flu is appropriate levels of vitamin D. I don't know if that's true, but I just saw something on that.
Well, the debate goes on.
I think that vitamin D advice goes for our general health, because most of us are deficient in vitamin D.
Well, in this part of the world, heading into the seasons we're heading into, it is a problem.
Yeah. The main story has to do with stories of health on TV. Health stories on TV, local TV stations, are too short, according to University of Missouri study. Previous research has shown the most popular way Americans get their health news, with apologies to you guys, is by watching local television broadcasts. And now, at the University of Missouri, School of Journalism found that while local television news is the most common source of health news for Americans, most health news stories on local TV broadcasts are only 30 seconds or less in length. And this pattern of local health news reporting may be problematic because of the complex and rather technical nature of many of the stories.
That's why you're here with this, so we can devote more than a few seconds to some of these health stories. Even right. In the newspapers sometimes, depending on what you're reading, and people don't go through the whole article, these headlines are misleading often with study results, aren't they?
Okay, with apologies to the headline writers and the tease writers on TV, they oftentimes are misleading. And then you've got the reader or viewer. They come with their own bias. We hear generally or read what we want to read or get the meaning from it. So
it's just like with politics, you know, you only
a little bit,
you only hear what you want to hear.
This Professor Cameron found that health news stories that dealt with advancements or treatments were mainly reported as gain-framed messages, while stories about statistics and trend mainly reported by loss-framed messages. Gain-framed messages communicate by giving positive reasons for avoiding a harmful behavior. Loss-framed messages focus on the negative consequences of continuing a harmful behavior, such as smoking. But one of the most important things about the health news stories is whether they provide specific directions or successfully encourage viewers to take healthy actions. And most of the self-efficacy people, you know, have control over what they believe they have. They believe they have control over their own behavior, which can lead to positive behavior change. But that the problem I mentioned earlier with the teases, as well as the short stories, and then our own bias in reading or listening to a story. I'm not suggesting Marianne would ever have a bias against listening to a health story.
From Western medicine.
Wait a minute. Maybe she would.
Well, you know, my problem with it is that a lot of what's reported is based on a study done by a pharmaceutical company that's trying to sell a product. They're trying to sell something. So they do a study, it gets reported everywhere, and hey, what do you know? The solution for this problem is their medicine. And so I think that people just hear that, and that's considered like the health news. But I don't think that everything is looked at. That's why I always...
That does happen sometimes, but most often when a pharmaceutical company funds a study, they have no control over how the study is conducted. They just provide the money.
Right, but if the study is to see if their medication works, and it does, then it omits every other possibility of taking care of this problem except through their medication. Because it's so-called proven.
One of the things you can look for is publication in a peer-reviewed journal, which almost totally eliminates this bias that you're talking about.
By the way, a little breaking vitamin D news. Because of the increase in the use of vitamin D supplements now, the NIH is going to be donating millions of dollars to fund research that will investigate whether or not vitamin D supplements can effectively prevent type 2 diabetes. That's news from the NIH study they will be doing.
That would be great.
And we can trust them, we hope. Marianne?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, you've got to be comfortable with your own health advisor, your health professional.
I am Bob's health advisor, so he might be in trouble.
I've said this before, Lyle, and you're a witness now. I want to broadcast this as many times as possible in case something happens to me. Marianne gives me a handful of pills in the morning. I don't know what they are. She says, take these.
A blind study.
And also, lot of liquids, too.
Yeah, and there's some green juice and some white juice that I'm requested to take. And
every day.
I'm still here for now.
Bob is experimental medicine in the flesh.
Lyle Dean, health news you can use.
Thank you, Lyle.
Always
you
interesting.
Guys.
See you next time. Sarat and Murciano, and your side of any story, text us 24/7/20. We also have a Facebook page and that email address. All of those are posted at WGNradio.com.
Am I too militant about food? I think so.
That's why I gave the text number and Facebook page for comments and the email address, Sarat and Murciano at WGNradio.com.
I'm just mad that people are misinformed about a lot of stuff. And I'm not.
Well, there's more information out there. There are more ways to get information.
But
so, with the good, there's the bad.
But there's
more bad also.
Right. But people think that anything that comes out of the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, yeah, and the NIH and every other place is like gospel. That's what I'm mad about.
Everything is a conspiracy,
well,
Marianne.
I don't think everything is a conspiracy, but I think that, you need to be in charge of, you need to use common sense for some things.
I can't wait till, we're about a month away from this. November 22nd, of course, the 50th anniversary of the Kennedy assassination, and we'll be interviewing various Secret Service people, government people, conspiracy theorists, as I'm sure everybody else will. Marianne, that would be a great time for you to go off on a vacation of your own, I think.
I don't want to get into that, but I'm telling you, people say, because, I have my doctor says that my vitamin D levels are fine. Well, if you go to a regular doctor, their parameters are different from if you go to an integrative doctor. Like they'll tell you that you don't have. I went to one doctor and she said, wow, how is your vitamin D level so high? Then I went to the integrative doctor that same week and she said, your vitamin D level is low.
So what happened?
It's because the parameters are different. Because if you say that you're supposed to have a certain amount and it's too low because that's what's been proven, by whoever, then all of a sudden you feel like you're fine. But if you go to an integrative doctor, they say you need a lot more vitamin D.
What's an integrative doctor?
Somebody who does holistic and Western medicine both. Like they use both.
Well, you know what? If you listen to our program here between noon and 3, over the course of every week, you hear Lyle, and you'll also hear somebody like Dr. Peter Van Uhl, who has more of an Eastern holistic philosophy. And then our friend Dr. Ian Smith, we have to get him back on. He's more of the Western viewpoint. So you get it all, and then you determine, like Lyle always says, gather all the information as much as you can. You are your own best advocate for your health, and then make the most educated decision that you can make.
Yes.
See, now Lyle starts a big fight. Now he's
and
gone.
Then he leaves.
Yeah, he's halfway down Michigan Avenue now. And then Mr. and Mrs. Surratt are here in the studio for another hour and a half. Thank you, Lyle. Bob Surratt, Marianne Murciano, in charge of the radio station this afternoon. And I guess Marianne is in charge of music right now. That sounds very hip.
Yeah.
And speaking of hip, you gave me that look today, and you didn't say anything about it, but the look was, what you're wearing is not good. And let me just point out that,
you know,
first of all,
stand up and let me take a picture of you right now, okay? I want audience participation. Right. Hey, look, there's people taking a picture of you from the outside. All right, step over there a little bit, or get the
Where?
Chair out of the way so
okay.
that I can see
Back
all
here?
Of you.
Back
yeah.
here?
Yeah.
All right, how's this?
Okay.
Yeah, are you photographing what you claim is a bad look?
No, it's...
Huh?
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Now, what are you going to do with that photo?
I'm just going to post it.
Facebook.com/Surratt and Murciano. Let me just point out that what could be bad? The shoes I'm wearing are shoes you bought me. The pants I'm wearing are pants you either bought or approved. Is it something about the sweater, the shirt?
And by the way, I did not say anything negative.
You didn't have to.
You gave me that look. All I said
was... Here, take another picture. Let me stand up. Here, I'll show you the look. Wait a minute. Take another picture and post this along with the photograph of what you claim is not a look. I'll give you the... Okay, you didn't say anything. All right, this... Wait a minute.
What about your backlit? Get over here.
If you're in your car right now, excuse me for a minute. If you're at home, I'll be right back. If you're on the computer, there's nothing wrong. I'm just stepping away from the microphone.
Right there.
All right, here is the look. Wait a minute. Give me a three count.
3, 2, 1.
That's the look. Okay. So post that, too.
Okay. So I said nothing negative to you.
You said nothing at all. You didn't have to.
I know. You just wanted me to just say that it looks good. And you know what? Really, half of you looks great. I'm looking at this picture of yourself.
It's a simple, solid color.
That is so funny.
What is this? What color sweater is this?
It's like khaki.
All right.
The problem is that...
you don't like the fit, right?
Right. It's so... Okay.
It's comfy, though. This is the kind of weather you want to wear something comfortable and cozy.
But you can
cozy.
Wear something comfortable, cozy... And it
snuggly,
doesn't have to be for a man
snuggly, as
who is
our daughter says.
Three times your size.
You think this is too big?
Yes.
But it makes me feel skinny, and then
but
I can
you
eat
are skinny.
Anything I want.
No, you are skinny, and you can wear anything you want. You have such a great body, Bob.
Well, I thank you.
So show
Do we
it
have
up.
That? Wait a minute. Let's make sure we have that so
So where I mean
that
so,
line can be used in a lot of promotional materials now.
You have such a great body, Bob. All right. So here's the thing. I'm trying to just get you to buy clothes that are a little bit more tailored. That's all. And you look fine.
Can
but
I
you
tell
just
you,
wanted me to say that you look, you know.
No, I didn't want you to give me that look.
I didn't give you
that disapproving look. I'll tell you what the problem is. This is what we're up against here. When I was a little kid, did you ever see the movie A Christmas Story? Well, there's a scene in the movie where the kid is bundled up and can hardly move. Remember that scene?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so my mom did that to me. She was afraid I'd get sick, so she put on 7 or 8 layers of clothes in the winter, wrapped me up. I felt like I was in an iron lung.
But
so,
it's either that or what? I mean, why does it have to be two extremes?
Because of that experience as a child, I don't even like to wear sweaters. I don't wear them that often. I don't like to wear a lot of layers. I like to be unencumbered. I don't like turtlenecks. I don't like to be buttoned up and zipped up completely because of the experience as a child when my mom wrapped me up like a mummy.
But you don't have to be wrapped up like a mummy to come to work. You could just wear like something that fits you. instead of something that doesn't fit you? Because I think that you buy things like extra large, and you're a small man.
I don't buy extra large.
You're not
large.
A small man. You're a tall
I'm a huge man.
Handsome man with a great physique. You look great. You work out. You eat healthy.
Well, I've said for a broadcaster, I'm in pretty good shape.
Yeah. So you don't have to buy clothes that are like really oversized. That's all I'm saying.
I'm all about comfort.
Look at the size of those sleeves.
I've got them rolled up.
No, I mean the width.
The width of the sleeve?
Yeah. It's like it's all hanging.
It's comfortable, though.
It is. I'm sure you're very comfortable. You'd probably be very comfortable if you were just wearing, like, sweatpants.
Is the goal
to be comfortable? If the goal is to be comfortable, then I say you win.
Let me tell you something.
But you can do both. You can look good and be comfortable.
Right now, I don't have to worry about television. So I'm really enjoying the fact that I can dress however I want, but because of your infatuation with video and photos for the web and our Facebook page and the internet, I can't wear sweatpants and a t-shirt, which is what I'd like to wear.
Well, that's why I don't wear sweatpants and a t-shirt, too, by the way, because I know that we're going to be taking a million
pictures. Yeah, but you don't really like that.
I wear when I get home.
You know I would love to always wear jerseys, like football jerseys or baseball shirts, sweatpants, gym clothes, team apparel. I would be happy to live in that.
Okay. All I know is that our daughter, Daniela, and I play the game in the house all the time called Look, Not a Look. And she stands by the door and does not let you come out. She does not want you to be wearing some of that stuff when she's going to be seen with her friends. Okay? So if you don't think there's something wrong with that, I mean, and then she bought you basketball shorts. She took you shopping.
Yeah.
And then she said, look, my friend's dad is a coach. And he wears basketball shorts, and they look really good. So,
and I wear those all the time.
Bob, but you can't be wearing basketball. Okay, I have a picture. I think I'm going to post that, too, if I can find it.
And then I was criticized for wearing those basketball shorts too much.
No, it's not that you're wearing them too much. It's that what you wore them with, it didn't make any sense, and it looked bad. She was embarrassed, and she's always saying to me, Mom, please don't let him.
Here's the biggest
problem.
You
know, I have the picture. I'm gonna definitely post this.
The real issue is, and I think I'm not the only one this happens to, but because you end up spending so much time with our daughter, she has become Marianne Jr., and she imitates you, and now I get it from two people. Whatever,
she is not imitating
whatever
me at
you
all.
Criticize me for,
no.
Whatever you argue with me about,
she
does the same thing. And so I'm thinking the other night, you're out of the house. You went to the, what was the concert you went to?
Janelle Monáe.
You went to that show. So it was very, very nice and peaceful in the house. I'm there with our daughter. And three or four times during the night, like one of the things you always say to me is, you turn the thermostat up in the house. You move it up a couple of degrees, and then you say to me, don't touch it, because I always turn it down because I want it cooler. So,
right, 30 seconds after I do it.
So our daughter was cold, so she turned the thermostat up a couple of degrees, and then she comes down the hall and says to me, and Daddy, don't touch it. Marianne Jr. again.
Because how rude is it that if you're – okay, if you were in the house with somebody, like a friend of yours from work, all right, and then that person turned the thermostat up because that person was really, really cold. Would you 30 seconds later walk up and turn it back down as if it was like a game?
No.
As if you were like five?
No, of course I wouldn't.
Of course you wouldn't. Would you do that with me and with her?
Well, right, because you're close immediate family. I can be mean to you guys. Marianne's been busy posting various photos on our Facebook page. Are you done now with that?
I just posted a couple of videos of the day that we had over this weekend where Daniela didn't want you to leave the house. And there's a little video of you dressed. And now I've put my finger on it. This is what was wrong. You were, from the waist down, you were basketball. And from the waist up, you were baseball.
Oh, so the problem is I mixed my professional sports?
In a bad way. And she came down the stairs, and she saw you because the two of you were getting ready to go to the grocery store. And she said, no, I can't go out with him like this. So.
All right. Well, I'm sure many guys will come to my rescue with comments. Facebook.com/Surratt and Murciano. Coming up at 2:05, what's that?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that when we open up the Love Lab, although it seems like the Love Lab has been open all day, we have that list of 8 types of women men should avoid. One of the types men who mix their professional sports attire. 8 types of women guys should avoid. That'll be coming up after the 2 o'clock news today.
I'm laughing at the comments that people are making on that picture that I just took of you standing here. Because, you know, so far people think that your sweater's a little bit too big.
All the votes are not tabulated yet. We're here till 3.
Hey, you know what? I'm having a party, and it's just for the neighborhood. And I know you don't want me to talk
about
it.
Am I invited?
And you, yes, you're invited. And I put an Evite. You know what? Do you know how to use an Evite?
I know what they are, and yeah, I get them, but I wouldn't know how to make one and send
very,
one.
It's very easy. It's so nice to be able to do that. And it's just, you know, it's like a little Halloween thing. It's just for the neighbors. It's not so, nobody should get offended if they're not invited. It's just like a little neighborhood thing. But anyway, I sent it out, and as I was putting the invitation together, I was trying to decide, you know, you have an option to either let everybody see your guest list or not.
Well, I like it when I get an Evite and can see who's coming.
Right.
Because it's rude to ask, hey, who else is coming? But now you can see it.
Right. But the dilemma is that, I mean, what I always think, especially a party like this, because it's really just the neighborhood, what if I left somebody out and then I have to send them an Evite afterwards and they weren't part of the original Evite batch? And then I received an invitation for a Halloween party that obviously we can't make because we're having one ourselves, and that one, all the guest list was hidden, so mm-hmm. I'm not sure which is the best way to do that or what the.
Well, if you're sending, you should hide it. If you're receiving, you want to see it, right?
That doesn't make sense. You can't.
I know, but I'm saying you should hide it if you're sending.
If you're
out
sending
Evites.
It out, you yeah. should hide. So I should have hidden it.
Yeah, you should have hidden it. Now, if I'm the receiving end of one of those, I want to see who's coming.
But you can't if I've hidden it.
Well, but you're not inviting me to your party, so I don't have to worry about you.
You know
I'm not
what,
talking
after
about
today,
you.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't think you really get what I'm talking about.
No, I think I do. I think I do. Because I've gotten those Evites. Why don't you just sit in the corner of the Allstate Showcase studio with your smartphone and look at the comments on our Facebook page and amuse yourself till Gary comes in at 3. I'll handle things over here.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I forgot what I was going to say now.
I think you're just stuck on the whole dress code thing.
No, I'm thinking about the Evites. I'm just saying that. You want to know who's coming to a party. You always want to know. If you're invited to a party, you always want to know, and it's rude to ask. So if you can see who else is invited, and some of these, can't you see who's responded?
Yes,
yeah,
you can see.
That's perfect.
So the invitation that I sent out, everybody can see everything. They can see who's on the list. They can see who said yes, who said no, what the comments were, and that's part of the fun of it. But if you, by accident, leave somebody out and then you run into them and you go, oh, I should have invited this other person, then it's kind of embarrassing to be sending out the Evite just to that person, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
You don't get embarrassed by stuff like that. You don't have parties.
No, because you handle all that stuff.
Okay.
I just show up.
I just wonder what anybody else does. You know, like, what do people do? Is it, what is the right way? Is there like the proper etiquette? Should you let people see your guest list or not? That's what I want to know.
312-981-7200. Here's the other thing I was wondering about today. And I think about this when we come down to the studio from our office on the 7th floor, and then after 3 when we go back upstairs. Does the door close button in any elevator actually work? I don't think so. But everyone presses it.
Knowing
it never works.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah, people are nervous. So I think they just have that button there to make type A people who are in a hurry feel better.
Because they have something to do?
They can press that button. They can press the button. And they think, and eventually the door will close, right? So you'll think, oh, good. And I feel better now. But I believe that's a dummy button in every elevator.
You may be right. Yeah. Although I'm sure you're always going for it.
If I didn't worry about things like this and talk about them, who would? Huh?
I don't know. But I'm always going for the open button because if there's somebody coming in, especially in the lower level here, because it takes so long for that elevator to come. So if somebody is running in, I'm holding the door open and I'm fighting you because you're pressing the button for close because you don't care.
I'm gonna tweet that out at Bob Surratt. I'm going to tweet that out, my thought about door close buttons and elevators. I know. I should tweet it on the show account. This is too complicated because we have another Twitter account, right?
We have a Twitter account.
Surratt Murciano.
Right. Yeah. We tweet on that. We tweet like podcasts and pictures and things like that. But, I don't know how effective that is because that doesn't live on somebody's timeline as long as posting something on Facebook.
Because Twitter just keeps going by.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Hey.
Yeah. What?
Look who's out there. It's Lyle Dean and Rick Kogan are standing in front of the Showcase studio. And they're acting like it's not cold. But I know it's really cold.
I know what they're saying. I know what they're saying. They're saying
Bob's sweater is way too big. Bob, stand up and let's ask them.
No,
stand up.
Hey,
I want to know if they think that you're
I'm not going to be criticized by a guy wearing a Cubs jacket and a velour sweatsuit.
Alex.
Love and marriage.
I love you, honey bunny.
Love and marriage.
Get out!
Have you the wit?
Let's open up the love lab. Get into some relationship talk. And today we have a list. This actually came from a newspaper in Australia, I believe. The 8 types of women guys should avoid. I know, only 8?
Really?
Should we start at number 8?
Yeah. Okay. The number 8 is the man-hater. Of course, guys should avoid women who are man-haters.
Yeah,
right?
That makes sense. I don't need the list for that. That's not telling me anything I don't know.
Yeah. So,
according to this article, these are not deal breakers. They're red flags. You don't need to change your personality, but maybe you could be more aware of the ways you're cheesing off the other half of the population. Okay, the man heater. Let's just go to the next one.
You don't want to go to why she is so unappealing?
Well, I know. If she hates men.
She hates men.
That's enough. Enough said.
Everything about the male gender angers her. I know somebody like that, by the way. She's a man hater.
Married?
She's married.
Mm.
And she has a son.
Mm. Feel sorry for him.
Yep, me too.
Next.
Okay, the next one is the bunny boiler.
What does that mean?
One day there's a twinkle in her eye. The next day there's a big knife in her hand.
Oh, it's a reference to Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction. Everything is drama with this woman.
Uh-huh.
And then it escalates to full-blown crazy. I know somebody like that, too.
I like that. You know a bunny boiler?
I know. Yeah. And the bunny boiler is also the man-hater. By the way.
Yeah, I would think they would go hand in hand.
Okay. The next one is...
This is number 6.
Number 6 is the princess. High maintenance nightmare on legs. On the surface, she's not unappealing at all. In fact, in some men's eyes, she is just the ticket. But scratch the perfectly manicured surface. Yes, the princess even sleeps in makeup. And you'll find drama, drama, drama. By the way, this had to be written by a guy. This high-maintenance woman needs to be doted on like royalty. And why should she not, I say?
Go back to the list. What does the list say? She gets everything she wants. That's what the list says.
And she won't necessarily return the gesture.
Okay, so that's the princess. Continuing with the eight types of women guys should avoid. We've got the man-hater, the bunny boiler, the princess, and number five.
And people should be listening up, because if anybody has anything else to add to this list, that would be really good.
Of women and guys
they can
should
call
avoid.
Us. Call us at 312-981-7200. If you have another type of woman that guys should avoid. So number five is the kiss and tell. Guys hate it when you talk about them to your friends. But, you know, that's every woman talks about everything. It's not like just kissing and telling. I mean, that's just a natural part of being a woman. You share information.
And guys, we don't speak.
No. No. But according to this, it's our worst nightmare to think that you and your girlfriends might be gossiping about our relationship or sex life to people on the outside. And I'm wondering, how do you feel about that, Bob? How do you feel knowing that there are people who are our friends, we go out to dinner with them, and you know, you have a relationship with them, and they know way more about you than you would ever, ever in a billion years tell them?
Well, I have intimate discussions with my friends. Hey, how about the Bears? And I know that, and we're all the same. And I know that when the women get together, you know, yak about everybody and everything. But I'm okay with
because
everybody's in the same boat. Because I know, like, everybody in our circle of friends and the area where we live, everybody knows everything about every guy, at least the women know.
Yeah, that's true. And that's
your blabber mouths.
No, that's the way it should be. I think that's really good.
So I'm okay. I'm okay with that because all the guys are in the same boat. So I have no secrets.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
The wannabe trophy.
That should be avoided.
She's a bit like the princess. The wannabe trophy expects everything and does not want to give much in return. This was written by an angry man, by the way, who was with somebody who didn't return the favor.
You think so?
Basically, yeah. She wants the man to pay for dinner, this says, and he totally should if it's the first date and he invited her out. But when the courtship continues and she's still demanding the world, you've got a gold digger in your hands. Okay, the next one, number three, the clinger.
Nobody likes a clinger.
No, the clinger clings, all right? She's overly emotional, shares all her feelings from the start, and needs constant reassurance about your relationship status. Bob, did you find this study? Where did you find this study? This is a guy would find this study done by a guy.
It was sent to me by the Home Office.
The Home Office of what?
Tribune Tower, top floor. Or they have that section, the Surratt Marciano department.
Mm-hmm.
Just came from there.
Okay. Then somebody must want us to talk about this. I don't think so, though. The overthinker. What did he mean when he said I looked pretty today? What did he mean when he said my colleague Sarah seems like a nice girl? We've been out for 2 weeks, and why haven't I met any of his friends? Okay, she's overthinking. You know, but guys, I don't know.
Let's get to the number one type of women guys should avoid. These are the eight types of women guys should avoid. And what's number one on the list?
This is a bogus study and a bogus list.
What's number one?
Some guy came up with. I don't like it one little bit. The friend hater. So the perfect woman will be let down by her inability to get along with a guy's mates. Mates, because this was an Australian study.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just like you, men love their friends. So they don't want to hear you bad-mouthing or criticizing them for no reason. It's the worst.
It's very important to guys that your buddy's mate, wife, whatever, likes you. I was just watching a Seinfeld rerun last night where George Costanza became obsessed because Jerry's date didn't like him. And the more Jerry's date hated him, the more obsessed George became with being with her. And so he ended up breaking up with his girlfriend because all he could talk about and think about was Jerry's girlfriend who hated George. And this George was obsessed with this and wanted to be nice to her and win her over. And that's all he could do. No, he never did. He never did. He ended up losing his girlfriend in the process.
You don't want to date, whether you're a guy or a girl, you don't want to date somebody who doesn't like your family, your friends. I mean, why would you even be with somebody?
Hey, love is blind. Sometimes that happens.
So you want to be with people, you want to be with somebody who doesn't like your family?
Well, no,
or your
ideally,
friends?
You end up with someone who likes the people you like or the people you want to be with. But you can't always have that.
But that's part. It's like, we came to our marriage with, I had two kids. So if you didn't like my kids, you were not going to be part of the family. I mean, it's a package deal. If you didn't like
with
my
kids,
friends,
it is.
I would have a really big problem with that.
Oh, with friends, it's a package deal too?
Well, I mean, I'd like your opinion and perspective on my friends. Maybe there's something about them that I never really looked at. I mean, within reason. I don't, people don't have to be with unreasonable people.
Well, the whole thing is you don't want to have to change your life when you meet somebody. You don't want to suddenly have to give up seeing people that you want to see because your mate doesn't like them. And then you have to sort of live a life that's not the life you want to live. And eventually that blows up.
Exactly. Now, can we talk about where this study came from and can we stop the Home Office from sending us studies like this?
It's from a newspaper in Australia.
Okay. Don't be surprising me with studies like this.
I will talk to the person in charge and make sure. What, you don't want any more studies from Australia? You want the studies to be U.S. based?
No. I don't have a problem with Australia at all. But this was written by an angry guy who probably was ditched. Who knows what he's like?
Okay.
There's a guy standing outside the Showcase studio. His jaw dropped. Look at him.
Wait a minute. Let me see if I can. I think there's some way for me to talk to this person. Are you stunned at something, sir?
No, I'm just a big fan of the show.
Oh, thank you.
I've got to sit in with the Gary Meyer show.
Sorry to hear that. What are you doing on Michigan Avenue today?
Just walking around and enjoying the city.
Okay. Well, you seemed stunned and shocked. We were concerned.
No. I just listened to the show.
All right. Well, appreciate it.
Maybe my own reflection, Bob.
That would do it. What? Are you a student?
Yeah, I'm trying to get into radio broadcasting.
Oh. I'm sorry to hear that, too. Where do you go to school?
I just finished at Western in Macomb.
And you're looking for a job now?
Yeah.
Well, can you say more of Surratt and Murciano after this?
More of Surratt and Murciano after this on 720.
We have a little follow-up to a celebrity report item from yesterday, don't we?
By the way, AJ, the guy who was, looking in on the show that I took a picture of and I posted it up there, he is looking for an internship. Wouldn't it be wild if he got an internship here based on the fact that he walked by the studio?
Did you break the news to him yet that I'm looking for a medical intern?
Yeah, I was thinking about the J-Lo story because yesterday, as you probably remember, during the celebrity report, she was speaking out about the fact that when she was very, very young, she remembers her parents really, drilling it into her head that she had this great body. But when she began her career and she started singing, many people tried to change her body because, she has a big rear end and, you know, whatever.
And the problem with that would be what?
That's what she said. She said the problem with that would be what? Because, you know, she was very proud of her body and she felt really good in her skin. And I was working out today and I was asking this trainer, our trainer, I was asking, like, even if she had decided early on that she wanted to change that about her, like, how could you? Like, what do you, how do you change your body if that's your body type? And I asked him and he said, you can't. I mean, because that, you know, that's her, she has wide hips.
Well, you can muscle up, you can lose weight.
Yes, but how can you change? I mean, she's thin. It's not like she is a heavy person or was. So how do you actually change, you know, like your bones? You
well,
can't really
but,
do
but there's
that.
Anybody out there listening now who hasn't thought, I'd like to be taller, I'd like to be shorter,
okay,
I'd like
to be
thinner.
Taller, but how could I be taller?
I start hanging upside down?
That does not work. I know you really believe that.
Well, you walk around right side up all the time. Gravity, you know, wears you down. So hang upside down a little bit. Remember when that was a big craze for a while? Those gravity boots or whatever they were doing. Inversion boots. Remember that? People did that.
Did you own some?
No, I never did.
Inversion
I never did. No. Yeah, inversion boots.
Yeah. I know somebody who had inversion boots.
Good in the snow.
Not.
But people want to change things about them, even though
yes, they do. But how do you change that?
If that's intellectually, they know they can't, but they think about it.
But if people are giving you that advice, career advice, change your body, and your body, and you're thin already, you're in shape. She's always been a dancer, so she's been in shape. It's just that the shape of her body was that, you know, her behind was bigger, but you know, a lot of people like that, and she obviously does. But how could you change that? I mean, short of like having some surgery where they saw your bones or something. I don't know.
Hey, they do all kinds of liposuction type procedures now, don't they?
Yeah, but I don't think that's a matter of liposuction. She wasn't fat. She wasn't heavy. She didn't have extra weight on
her. There are all sorts of stories about Hollywood stars who have been told to change this or change that. Many don't. Some do.
Well,
lots of them have new noses, right? You've seen the pictures of the young starlet and the starlet today, and they look completely different. You've seen those pictures.
Yeah, but nose, you can do stuff to your nose. You can make it smaller. You can do things like that. But like the bottom half of your body, your entire body?
There's no reason to change that and worry about your success. I think Kim Kardashian has proven that.
Marianne's Celebrity Report to the Nation is on the air.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Marianne, who's in the celebrity news today?
When he recorded that, did he ask any questions, or did he just read the script?
Just reads what's put in front of him.
No matter what. Now we're in the newsroom because I hear those teletype machines.
Of course.
So, Prince George, you know who that is, right? The new baby, the new royal baby, was christened today at St. James Palace Chapel Royal with water from the River Jordan. And guess how many godparents he has?
Six.
Seven.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah, seven godparents. I thought you could only have two.
But not if you know the queen.
Yeah, they're all friends and family. And it was a very small celebration. And even though people have been camped out all day trying to see, only 22 guests were in attendance. And upon the arrival, the little prince appeared to wave at his great-grandmother, Queen Elizabeth II, although it was really a case of William moving his son's hand up and down. How very cute.
That's a big tourist attraction now over there.
People the child?
People were camped out in front of the church overnight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very big deal.
Only 22 people, though, in the ceremony.
Yeah, but there are many folks outside.
Right, yeah.
I kind of like it. You know, I never really understood the whole royal family to-do until I got over there. First trip to England, and then I understood what it was all about. And at the time, this is when Diana was still alive, and at the time, it was like whoever you talked to out there had an opinion about her, because you forget now, but she was very controversial, and for a time there, especially older people in and around London and in Great Britain, they thought that she was sort of going against the old traditions of the royal family, and a lot of people didn't like her. But when I was over there and I got caught up in that talk, I realized, oh, this is a big deal, and it is for folks over there. And yeah. We're fascinated with it in this country.
I think we're fascinated with anything royal, mm-hmm. Yeah. I loved her.
Royal typewriters, royal flushes in poker.
Remember when you, I bought a computer, and then in order to rebel, you bought a royal typewriter? And because you said...
It wasn't to rebel.
Yes, it was.
No, I just needed a new typewriter. No,
nobody was buying typewriters.
Well, and I thought maybe the computer thing would be a fad.
Right.
So I wanted to be ready.
You wanted to...
Hey, Mike, don't laugh. That's worth something now, my royal. It
too
is.
Bad, too bad it disappeared in the last garage sale. Okay, Kim Kardashian... She is admitting that keeping up with the Kardashians is fake and that the show did not really show how tough pregnancy was.
Well, all those reality shows are kind of scripted, edited,
right.
And staged. And by the way, the whole wedding, that whole scene with Kanye and Kim in San Francisco at the ballpark, mm-hmm. I mean, all of that is for the reality show, for their reality show. So... They can write that off. It's a production expense because that's going to be a big deal on their TV show, isn't it?
Right. That plus a few other scenes, such as Chris and Bruce Jenner's relationship woes. That's fake, too. A lot of that is fake. So
it might be a little truth to it, but I'm sure it's exaggerated.
Yeah. And Kim's conversation with her mother about ending her marriage to Chris Humphries. And editing has also played fast and loose with the truth. And also Kim's own confession only reinforces the sentiments that the show is fake, that everybody says that the show is fake. And she's saying that it is.
What about Bruce Jenner's face?
Oh, that's real. Okay, so remember that show Smash that didn't last too long? I think it was only 2 seasons. I loved that show.
On NBC.
Well, one of the stars, Catherine McPhee, has been seen making out with her former director. So McPhee is married but separated. She's married to a guy who manages her music career. But she's separated, and he is married and has 3 kids. And the internet is bursting with pictures of the two walking and holding hands and then kissing.
Now, why should we care about this? You watch the show. Is that
well,
why you care about
this?
Well,
if anybody cares about Catherine McPhee, then they would care about this. Yeah.
Wasn't that some big, who was it? Big executive producer? Was it Spielberg or somebody was involved in that show? I think so.
It's ironic because her character on that show was often doing that, too. You know, making out with the director of the play.
I guess she wasn't acting.
She wasn't acting. And Lindsay Lohan has been hanging out in a bar in New York City. It's a karaoke bar that she often goes to. And the other day she was there. She kept the staff there till 6 a.m. She was there with a group of people. Everybody was drinking, but she was not. And she is seen smoking. She was reportedly chain-smoking all night and drinking Cokes and being insanely belligerent and confrontational, but not drinking alcohol. It's probably better for her if she drank alcohol than if she chain-smoked all night.
I can understand the fascination with Kim Kardashian because of the sex tape and other things in her past, I guess, and the characters that she's with and her family. I don't get the Lindsay Lohan bit, because I wonder, well, why do we care about this person? And I know we like to follow these train wrecks, but really, Lindsay Lohan, I really don't care about her. I don't need to know anything about her.
Yeah.
I'm not fascinated in the least.
I am.
A lot of people are, apparently.
I am fascinated by her. And I feel really bad for her. She's got so much potential. And I do want to know what's going on with her. But anyway, she's been in rehab. And supposedly this time it was going to take. And you know that Oprah had that, you know, scene with her recently, mm-hmm. where, you know, she made sure that she was going to cooperate in this movie, mm-hmm. that they were doing, the documentary. And so apparently she's not drinking, but, you know, she's still acting.
She's hanging
out
with the wrong crowd. And if Lindsay Lohan comes to Chicago and spends just a couple days with me, I can get her on the right track. She wouldn't have to go into rehab. She wouldn't have to do anything. Just hang out with me, and I'll point out the finer things in life. I'll take her around to, you know,
Hot Dog Stands,
Poochie's, yeah. some other places. And Manny's maybe for mm-hmm. some matzo ball soup. So I introduced her to some real people.
So what she needs is food.
Well, comfort food, and she needs to be away from the glitz. She doesn't need to go to any of these fancy-dancy restaurants and bars.
But she would be bored then, because she'd dig the glitz.
No, no, I think she'd see the attraction of my lifestyle.
Okay. and your dress style, too. Maybe she would start dressing differently.
Yeah, she would appreciate the way I dress, unlike you. She would dig the sort of cuddly comfort look that I favor.
Mm-hmm. All right, and to finish off the celebrity report.
To the nation.
Okay, so dead celebrities are earning a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, this is the Forbes list, isn't it?
The Forbes list, the annual list of top earning dead celebrities. Number one, Michael Jackson took in $160 million. Elvis, $55 million. Charles Schulz,
Peanuts,
$37 million.
Mm-hmm.
Liz Taylor, $25 million, and Bob Marley, $18 million. How's Bob Marley on this list? I mean, his records are great, but is he doing something besides the music?
I think the publishing is probably most of it. Michael Jackson, $160 million, and then Elvis, number two, $55 million.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of Michael Jackson's success was the Cirque du Soleil show.
Oh, sure.
He was number two last year. And that is the rest of the story.
The Celebrity Report to the Nation returns again tomorrow at this same time. Let's open up the mailbox after this. We are receiving your messages, and here is the Surratt Marciano mailbox.
All right. We've gotten a lot of texts. We were talking about garbage.
Oh, at the beginning of the broadcast today, I mentioned that it would be, well, walkathons, bike-a-thons, marathons are nice to raise money, but if you had like a garbage-a-thon where you're actually picking up trash along the way, you'd actually be using that energy for a better purpose, I think.
Mm-hmm. And somebody wrote to us and had another idea. How about the marathon fee being waived if the participant picks up garbage afterwards?
I'm good with that, yeah.
Okay.
Keep the city clean.
And about coffee, we were talking about that with Lyle for a little while. With a Brazilian background, I have always been exposed to coffee all my life. First, a splash of coffee in my milk, and now a splash of milk in my coffee. That's good. Enjoy your show. Most grew up on Folgers or some other weak coffee. Once I tried real coffee, I was hooked. My Cuban neighbor turned me on to café con leche at 13. Before I'd cut her grass, she'd give me a shot. Coffee, that is. She was gorgeous. I think that's a prerequisite. All right, whatever.
Wait a minute. What are you doing?
I think that's a prerequisite to being a Cuban woman. That was very nice. Thank you, Mike. All right, so we were talking about health. After my physical last year, I was informed I have a vitamin D deficiency. We were talking about that with Lyle. The kicker is I live in the Los Angeles area, and vitamin D supposedly, well, not supposedly, you get it from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with Marianne. Big Pharma is the devil. And then about your clothing. Oh, wait, here's another one about the pharmaceuticals and all that that we were talking about. Marianne, thank you for questioning modern Western medicine. It's refreshing to hear some different opinions on mainstream radio. Keep it up. Joan, one of those flu shot haters like me. We were talking about fashion.
Yes, we were. You were criticizing my...
Don't say that
My
word.
Clothes.
I was observing your clothing.
Well, you didn't say anything. You just gave me that look. Because
yeah,
you think
I didn't criticize you.
Think I wear clothes that are that's too big. You think I'm wearing larger sizes than I need to.
Yes, and okay. So do a lot of other people because mm-hmm. I posted your picture so that everybody could see exactly what I was talking about.
You.
And also some videos from the weekend when our daughter wouldn't let you out the door because you were mixing your sports. From the waist down, you were basketball. From the waist up, you were baseball, sort of. Here's a couple of texts. You can't mix sports. And then, A, kids are always embarrassed by their parents. And B, people who are cold should put on a sweater. Jeez, the poor guy is already in shorts. Okay, we were talking about Evites.
Oh, yeah, before we leave that subject, you know, I tweeted that random thought I had about the closed door button in an elevator. I think it's a dummy button just to make type A people feel better and give them something to press. So I tweeted that out. And then, you know how you can get a message back on Twitter?
Yeah.
So Neil sent me this. I think the elevator is so embarrassed by your outfit that it's been stunned into not working. Very funny, Neil. Thank you.
I love that. But I want to get back to your clothing because we got so many Facebook comments underneath those pictures. If you have a second, just sift through those comments because they are hilarious. Okay, I'm only going to read a few of them. But Patricia says, oh my God, that's my husband. Love the bird legs. Bob, you're a good sport. A lot of husbands lack style, but make it up in other ways.
Sticks and stones will break my bones.
I can't like this picture because it's unlikable. Not a good look. Sorry, Bob. Jose says, Bob, she is a Latina. You better say you're sorry for whatever you did wrong or you are in for it.
I'll wear some tight-fitting clothes tomorrow.
Patricia says, if it fits by the shoulders, then just cut the sleeves off. Love you too. Bob is just like my husband. All comfort, no style. Bob has class.
Yes, thank you.
Marianne, you are my twin.
And there was something on Evites you said?
Yes.
Are we all done with the clothes, though? They're more about Bob's clothes.
I hope so.
No, there's so many more. I mean, seriously? Oh, here's another one.
No, great.
Oh, yeah. Very funny. We call our sweatpants and sweatshirts soft clothes. That's from Peter Kimball. Like, I'm going home to put on my soft clothes and relax.
Mm-hmm.
That's
good.
What you should call it. Call
this
it
is the weather,
clothes.
You know, the cloudy, cold weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And about the Evite invites, whether or not you should let everybody see the invitation or send it so that no one can see who's on the guest list. Do not send the list with an Evite. Simple Mark from Yorkville. That's all right. That's who wrote it. And come on, use a stamp and mail an invitation. I delete electronic invites. Find it rude. That's what Tim says. A lot of people do that, though. A lot of people do find that rude.
I got an email here, Serrata Murciano at WGNRadio.com. Hi, guys. The other day you were talking about the McRib. If you have a Meijer's food store near you, they have a rib sandwich. Meijer's brand in the freezer section. It tastes the same. No pickle or onions, but the sandwich with barbecue sauce tastes the same. Good eats. Thanks, Joe and MJ, for that.
But is it a rib? Is it a real rib?
It's a real McRib. And look, our long-distance listener of the day, and he commented on the big sweater look on our Facebook page. Hi to Richard Botha in Johannesburg, South Africa. So let's give him a prize listening
in
online.
South Africa?
Let's see, what would we get him? Can he order Malnati's pizza there? Let's get him a $25 gift certificate.
That's not going to do him any good.
1-800-LUDA-GO.
No, they don't deliver to South Africa. We'll let's give him something else.
We'll find out.
Can we give him, is there something else to give him? Then we'd have to send it to South Africa.
I'll send them my sweater.